This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله ما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear brothers in Islam, and welcome back to another episode of The Journey of the Soul. And last time we talked about death and how it comes out, the soul from the body in different ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our soul leave our body like a drop of water from the fiyasiqa, meaning the spout of a pot. Not make it the one that comes out in a different manner, that which tears out of your body with a sharp object like a wick wool. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our last words to be la ilaha illallah, and the best of actions of these to be the last of actions of these, and the best days we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about 6 feet under, and we'll talk about the grave. We're going to talk about it again in the Quran and Sunnah when it comes to the proof. Why? Because the scholars say that the grave is ghaibi. Ghaibi meaning it's unknown. It is something that is unseen. So we tawqifi now. Our aqidah is we stop. That means we only take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about it and what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about it. It's really that simple, inshallah. But before I start, I received a question from Brother Farid, habibullah, and a request from Brother Rahim, habibullah. May Allah bless you, inshallah, for bringing this Muslim of Allah to your home. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all and protect us in this interesting times. Alhamdulillah, it's been good, and more good than bad, alhamdulillah. And accept your Ramadan and all your time, inshallah, that you're investing in yourself and in your family and your soul. And inshallah, we can all get together like this in Jannah, like we gather this in the dunya, inshallah. I mean, after a long, healthy, righteous life. The request is to slow down, and I'm trying my best. And actually, the best time to slow down in when I'm tired. So I am tired, so this is good. It's automatically slowing me down now. Alhamdulillah. The second thing is to slow down also on the Arabic text, because the brothers and sisters want to follow with the ayat and the hadith that this Muslim of Allah is sharing with them. And the question came from one of the students, through Brother Farid, is asking, how do I make dua, or how do I actually ask Allah to make it easy for my parents in their grave, and what can I do, and so on. So the hadith states, إِذَا مَاتَ الْإِنسَانِ إِنْقَتَ عَمَلُهُ إِلَّا مِنْ ثَلَاثٍ. So it is a very known one, but the scholars will tell you that the best thing you can do for your children, for your parents, after they die, is actually make a sadaqah jariyah on their behalf, make dua for them, and anything that they taught you that is good, do, because that goes in the continuity for them on the scale. And the scholars say if they die, they need you even more now, because that's it. Their actions are cut off, and that's, you are the extension for your parents. So sadaqa jariya, ilmun yatafa'u bihi, beneficial knowledge, ongoing charity, beneficial knowledge, wa waladun salih yad'u lahu. And a righteous child that would make dua for them. That means if you are a righteous child, they will make dua for your parents. And the scholars say, mafhum al-mukhalafa, you know, al-khilaf is like the difference, the opposite of that is. That means if the hadith says, waladun salih. Why? The righteous child, because you make dua for your parents. That means if you don't make dua for your parents, you're not a salih, you're not a righteous child. So Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he says, actually, according to him, you're supposed to make dua for him in them in every salah, every prayer. Especially, he said, between the two sajdas. He says, رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us in the Quran, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. And say, تَلْقِينِيَّ, telling them, O Muhammad, to tell them, رَبِّ رَحَمُهُمَا, oh Allah, have mercy upon them as they raised me when I was young. So that's one thing you can do, inshallah. You don't have to visit the grave, especially, as I said, for the sisters of Warat, meaning ongoing. Again, there are differences of opinion among the scholars when it comes to this. Zawarat meaning ala wazn fa'ala, meaning ongoing, hyperbole, kathra. That means the scholars say now you're allowed to go ahead once in a while to have a reminder, to ponder and reflect that you will come here one day, and so on and so forth. So if that's the case, my brothers and sisters, you can go ahead and visit. You can make dua for them anytime. You don't have to physically be there, but once in a while, it's okay for you to learn. But don't make it on Eid day. Don't make it on Jumu'ah. Don't make it specific days or anything like that. Otherwise, inshallah, that we're, you stay away from the la'n. La'n meaning the curse. So to be on the safe side, because some of the scholars says, you know, I have told you not to go to the graves. Now I'm allowing you for the ponder and reflecting of that. And the hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, when she followed him to the Baqiyah, and she wanted to get out of difficulties that she was in because she was following Prophet Muhammad on her night. And then she said, what do I say if I go to the grave? He did not tell her, don't go. He told her, you say, Assalamu alaikum, and so on. So he says, he didn't tell her not to. He says, when you go to the grave at cemetery, you can say 1, 2, 3. So again, if you want to go with the Zahiriya or your madhab says you can't go, don't do it. But I'm just saying there is another opinion among the scholars, inshallah, that it is permissible for you to do so with the caveat that you don't go often. Go only when you feel like you want to be reminded and increases your iman, and not on Eid, not on Jum'ah, not on the specifics every time of this month and so on. Okay? So please make sure that we understand where this stands, inshallah. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about our aqidah, Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what do we believe in, Adab al Qabr wa Na'imi, and so on and so forth. And again, with the ayat and ahadith, and I'll do my best to go through it, inshallah, concise. And in the end, we will wait for, if you have any questions and concerns, inshallah, I'll be more than happy to address them as we go on, inshallah. So the scholars say that the strongest ayah in Surah Al-Ghafir, in the verses 46, that proves that the Azab al-Qabr wa Na'imih, the punishment of the grave, and also the blessings of the grave, it does exist. Except if you are among a certain a certain sect, we'll talk about that. Just for now, as I said before we started, we stop at the proof of the ayat and the ahadith. Simple, it's very simple. So we say لا تأويل مع نص صريح حديث صحيح. I cannot do my own ijtihad, my own interpretation. If the ayah is clear and the hadith is sahih, authentic. So let's go through it, inshallah. So the ayah says النار يعرضون عليها غدوا وعشيا. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ أَدْخِلُوا أَهْلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Which means, and now the fire, hellfire, يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوٌّ وَعَشِيَّةٌ. It is shown to them, and is like reviewed by them, غُدُوٌّ وَعَشِيَّةٌ, during the day and during the night. And that means there is a situation or a stage after we die, but the scholar says before the hereafter. Why? Because the ayah continues, says, وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةَ. And then on Judgment Day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَدْخِلُوا أَهْلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. Admit the tribe of Pharaoh, the people of Pharaoh, that to the gravest punishment. So there are distinctions between the stage when we were alive and when we're in the grave and when we are resurrected. And other ayat, and there's a few, and there's also hadith and so on. But that's not all I'm going to concentrate on. I'm also going to concentrate on a few other things. But I'll just give you the proof first, because some other people deny it totally. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, حتى إذا جاء أحد الموت قال ربي ارجعون لعلي أعمل صالحا فيما ترك كلا إنها كلمة هو قائلها ومن ورائهم برزخ إلى يوم يبعث. So Allah subhanahu wa jalla, let's tell us, you know, when death comes upon them, what do they say? Qala rabbi irji'un. Oh Allah, take me back. Take me back. La'alli a'mal salihan fi ma bak. Maybe I can do something good in what I left behind, meaning in dunya, life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers that question. Kalla, nay, innaha kalimatun huwa qailuha. It's only a lip service, mere lip service. And if they go back, Allah says in other ayat, if they go back, they will go back to their old ways. Subhanallah. So, but then Allah says, وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. After they die, if they ask to come back, you will not be granted that. But then you will be in the barzakh. That's what alam al-barzakh is. The life in the grave is called barzakh. It's a stage between the two lives. Yes? So the stage before the two lives are the life and the hereafter. The stage in the middle there is the grave. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ till when يَا اللَّهِ till the day that they will be resurrected. So after you die, this is your stage. till the day you're resurrected. So this now, the scholar says, so where is this nar if they're going to be given the hellfire, وَلِعَذْهُ بِاللَّهِ, those who disbelieve, and the people of Pharaohs, but this is the lowest great rank in the hellfire. Where is that after they die? And it's on Judgment Day is another stage. So where it would be? It has to be in the grave. So Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, in the tafsir, he says, هذا استدلال أهل السنة على عذاب البرزخ في القبور. في قوله والنار يعرضون عليها غدو معشية. That's what he said. This is what the tafsir according to Ibn Kathir. وفي حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها when Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يدعو في صلاته اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب القبر وأعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال وأعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات. So on. And this is in Sahih Bukhari 798 and Muslim 589. So this is in Sahih Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. So the two most authentic books after the Quran, subhanAllah. So anybody denies that, denies the Sunnah, denies the authentic hadith, and denies the ayat that is very clear. Yeah. So please understand. فمستقر ومستودع. Okay, another ayat. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says مستقر ومستودع. So that means some of the interpretation of the scholars in مستقر, and it says that you come where you come from, the back of your father, or the chest of your mother, or the semen and the egg. And then مستودع, you'll be going into the grave till you're resurrected. So this is something that there, not one single scholar have denied that fact. Hadith, inshallah. And the shahid that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to seek protection from the punishment of the grave. And if it did not exist, how could Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have actually asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from it? And he's the best of the creation. So he's actually telling us also to do so. And by the way, this is one of your homeworks, brothers and sisters. The narration says, before you say salam alaykum, you seek protection Allah from four things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min 'adhab an-nar, wa 'adhab al-qabr, wa fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat, wa fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal. I'm going to repeat. This is one of the best homeworks, inshallah, for today. If I leave you with anything in this webinar, this lecture, this is the most important of all. Okay, guys? So you're going to seek protection in Allah from four things. When you finish the shahud, and just before you say salam alaykum, here you go. Please say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min 'adhab an-nar, wa 'adhab al-qabr, wa fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat, wa fitnat al-masih ad-dajjal. Then explain it again. I'm going to repeat it. I'm going to, inshallah, an interpretation of the English. But where do you find it? Hisn al-Muslim, Fortress of a Muslim. And where do you get it? It's an app. Download it. It's free. I know we, as Muslims, we love free stuff. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So please take your iPhone or your Android or whatever it is, any type of phone you have. Download it, is free. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And you can say it, you can learn the hadith and or the adhkar or the dua, maybe one a day in the month of Ramadan. So by the time you finish Ramadan, you're a full tune machine to remember Allah and everything. So I seek protection in you, Allah, from the hellfire, from the punishment to the grave, from the test in this life and hereafter, and the Antichrist, the Masih al-Dajjal, the false Messiah. And this is the biggest fitna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all four. Ya Rabbi, I mean. Okay, so please make sure that's what it is. And okay, according to Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, also you say, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husna ibadatik. Meaning, oh Allah, help me to remember you. Dhikrika wa shukrika, be grateful to you and be to worship you in the way befitting your majesty. And he says that also is done before the sleep. Why? Because the hadith says, dubur kullu salah. Dubur kullu salah meaning actually it's the end of the salah. Dubur al-hamar, according to him, hashakum azzakumullah, this is the rear end of the donkey. It's attached to him. It's not like the donkey doesn't go and the dubur will follow him. So according to him, he says dubur kullu salah before the salah is over, not after the salah is over. So again, some of them say after, some of them say before, but again, according to the stronger opinion, according to Ibn Uthaymeen, Imam Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi, he said the same thing. So again, this is something that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it. If you, I mean, لم يخالف البعث عذاب القبر إلا المعتزلة وطواحق لا يعمل بخلاف. So he says, المعتزلة, they don't go with that, and some other sects don't believe in that. And خلاص, it's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah guide us and guide them too. But we as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we as I said, we take the ayat, and we take the hadith, and we accept, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We don't twist it. We don't wheel and all of that stuff. It's not our path. We are going to go if it's authentic. The Prophet Muhammad said it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it, and who are we not to accept it, inshallah? طيب, وأما حديث مخاطبة النبي الأسلام, because some people say, you know what, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, هل وجدتم ما وعدكم ربكم حقا? You know, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking to the deceased in Badr, the disbelievers, he says, have you seen what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you to be truth? The scholar said this khasiyya li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says, innahum la yasma'un al-qawl. This is walladhi nafsi bi Muhammad bi yadihi ma antum bi asma' lima aqul minhum. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, are you talking to the deceased? He says, wallahi, they can hear me just like you can hear me. But this is khasiyya li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the opinions of scholars, this is what now Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can talk to them, and they are just saying, this is, وَمَا أَنْتَ مُسْمِعٌ مَنْ قُبُورٍ. You are not going to let those in the qubur hear you. But now they say, this is خاص and عام, specifics and general, مُقَيِّد and مُطلق, restricted and unrestricted. Now, number four on this list, inshallah, that we can talk about him, he says that أَنَّ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ عَلَى صَحِيمَ الْأَقْوَارِ عَمَلِ يَقْطَعَ عَلَى الرُّوحِ وَالْجِسَدِ. Because some of the people, they say, is it the body only, is it the soul only, or is it together? Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, in his book Ar-Ruh, he talks about the stage in this life, the stage in the grave, and the stage in the hereafter. So he says, in this life, the ruh and jasad, the body and soul, are coupled, but the body has control over the soul. In the grave, he says, the ruh, the spirit, the soul, has control over the body. And in the hereafter, he says, they are together equal, body and soul. So in this life, your body has control over your soul. In the grave, your soul has control over your body. But in the hereafter, body and soul are controlled together. Again, so Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullahi alayhi, says again, وَإِذَا مَذْهَبِ السَّلَفِ وَإِمَّتْنَا مِنْ عَذَابِ وَأَنَّ النَّعِيمِ يَحْصَ الْرُوحِ الْمَيِّتُ وَبَدْنِهِ. So the punishment of the grave, or the blessings of the grave, the pleasure of the grave, happens to the body and soul together. Now, whether you know, there are different opinions, indeed what it is. So now we're going to talk about the some of the differences, inshallah, and some of what the scholars say. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, he was asked about them. He said the same thing. تُنَعَمْ النَّفْسُ وَتُعَذَّبْ مُنْفَرِدَ عَنِ الْبَدَنِ وَتُنَعَمْ وَتُعَذَّبْ مُتَّصِلَ بِالْبَدَنِ. So there is a pleasure and punishment in the grave. And some of them is for the body, and some of them for the soul. They're linked. And والبدن متصل فيه بها فيكون النعيم والعذاب عليها في هذا الحال مجتمع. So he says they are both combined in both of them in that case. And now the other scholars, and they will say there are difference between the Muslims in the grave and other ways of life and so on. And that's why they're buried in a different way, different matter, and away from us, and so on. And Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, he actually said the jawab. He says now in that case, he says, "وَكَذَا جِبْرِيلُ يَأْتِي النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَيُخْبِرُهُ بِالْوَحْيِ الْكَرِيمِ وَلَا يَدْرِكُ الْحَاضِرُونَ وَكُلَّ هَذَا ظَاهِرٌ جَلِيٌّ." So he says, according to us, even in your dream, like when you even see a ru'ya, sometimes you go into places and you feel that you've been there. And as a matter of fact, when you see a dream that you've eaten something, you wake up in the morning as if your taste is in your you can actually taste it, and you can feel it, and you've been there, and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa jalla grants you that as a bit of a hint. And even when you feel as such, this is something as like a minor, because the scholars say when you die in the grave, you'll feel like you're going to sleep. Because as you sleep in your bed, when you wake up in the morning, you'll be just like you resurrected. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَمْ تَكُنْ فِي مَنَامِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يَتَوَفَّى الْأَنْفُسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the souls, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees the ma'am. But when we are, some of them in their sleep, and thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he is not decreed for you to die, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you your soul back to wake up in the morning. Now you'll know why when you wake up in the morning you say Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma matana wa ilayhi an-nushur wa ilayhi an-nushur. So that's the dua again. I want you to make sure that you also do the dua before you go to sleep, and you make the dua when you wake up in the morning. So you can, the scholars say, because when you go to sleep, it's your minor death. When you wake up in the morning, you thank Allah for Allah giving you your soul back. You similarly, in the grave, when you go into the grave, you'll feel like you're going to sleep. When you're resurrected, you will feel that you woke up. But if you say the dua, tub'ath ma'al muwahhidin, you will be resurrected with the monotheists. That's one of the biggest gifts of the adhkar. So here we go. When we go to sleep, that's one of the other homework. When we go to sleep, please make sure you have wudu. Okay? You recite ayat al-kursi, as I mentioned before. And then we're going to place our hands in front of our body like this. You say, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلِي قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِالْفَلَقْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And wipe your front of your whole body. You're going to repeat that three times. And then you're going to sleep on your right-hand side. بِسْمِكَ رَبِّي وَضَعْتُ جَنْبِي وَبِسْمِكَ أَفْعَمُ اللَّهُمَّ أَمْسَكْتَ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لَهَا وَأَرْسَلْتَهَا فَأَحْفَظَهَا بِمَا تَحْفَظُ بِهَا عِبَادَكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Oh Allah, if you hold my soul, for have mercy upon it. Forgive it. And if you release it, protect it as with those you protect from the righteous of your slaves. Yeah. So you say, in the name of your Lord, in the name, I'll put my side, and then in your name, I raise it. Okay. And then it says, and there's a lot of things. I don't want to mention the whole too many. Again, remember, go back to that default of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalt wa nabiyyika alladhi arsalt." And then it's too many adhkar. But you will do one at a time, inshallah. So I believe in the book that you revealed, meaning the Quran, and your prophet that you sent. So you're finally saying, the last thing you're saying, you're basically saying, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبدك ورسول. So I believe in the Quran and Sunnah. You understand, guys? So if that's the last thing you say, and the last thing you say when you get up, so you said the shahada before you went to sleep. Because من كان آخر كلامه لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة. If that's the last thing you say, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, you will enter Jannah if you don't say anything else. So don't say anything after that. So when you're resurrected again, Alhamdulillah الذي أحيانا بعد موتنا. Some of the scholars says you say the shahada again when you say, when you wake up in the morning, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعد موتنا وإليه النشور. So you say the shahada again. You say praises due unto Allah, God Almighty, that He gave me life after death, and unto Him I'm going to be resurrected. طيب. Again, another narration. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Annahu yasma'u qa'r na'alihim, huma anta asma'u lima aqulu minhum." Says now, you see, some of the scholars say, even when we visit the grave, when we bury the brothers or the sisters, after the last person leaves the congregation, after the funeral prayer is done and the burial ceremony is done, the last person leaves, you can hear the footsteps walking away, and that's when the angels come in. Yes, the angels come in, and that was the Munkar wa Nakir. We'll talk about it, inshallah. And this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says: "Al-qalb yashbih al-qabr." So your heart, yeah, is similar to the what your grave will be. It says, "ولهذا لما فاتت الصلاة العصر يوم الخندق." And that's why when the prayer of Asr he missed on the Khandaq day. "مولى الله أجواف مقبول النار." Says Allah blessed him because gave him the fire in their grave because of that. He left قلوبهم وقبورهم نارا. And another narration says قلوبهم وقبورهم, in their hearts and in their grave the hell fire. وليعذ بالله. وفرق بينهما في قوله. And he differentiated between the two, inshallah. بعثر ما في القبور وحصل ما في الصدور. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the grave and حصل ما في الصدور, again in the hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiated between the two of them. So, and it's not befitting for us to say الَّذِي يَجِدُ الْمَيِّتُ مِنَ النَّعِيمُ وَالْعَذَابِ مِثْلَ مَا يَجِدُ النَّاهِمْ فِي مَنَامِهِ. But we cannot make the parable is exactly the same when we go into the grave, and the same as the as we go into the dream or go into the state of slumber or when we sleep. But in ذَلِكَ النَّعِيمُ وَالْعَذَابِ أَكْمَلُ وَأَبْلَغُ وَأَتَمُ وَهُوَ نَعِيمٌ حَقِيقٌ وَعَذَابٌ حَقِيقٌ. But now this is not a dream; it's for real. So we're giving you an example, a parable, so you can actually relate to it. But of course, this is not exactly the same, because that one is not what you do, and you not can get up in the morning and say, "Oh, man, it was a nightmare." This again in Al-Fatawa of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, And this is what the majority of the scholars say. Wallahu a'lam, God knows first and foremost. So now let's understand what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also mentioned of the adab and the na'im, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned also of these issues, inshallah. طيب. Some of the scholars will actually tell you that it is narrated that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that this is hadith, ma min muslim yusallim ala ilayya ila radd ilayya ruh. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says every Muslim sends salutations upon me except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me my soul back. Wa arudd alayhi salam, and I will greet him back. It says now, it says, ما من عبد يزور أخا له أن يعرفه في الدنيا يسلم عليه إلا رد الله عليه روح حتى يرد عليه السلام. وإن كان فيه ضعف. Even though that second narration, there is some weakness in it. It says, ولكن المقصود أن له تعلق. So it says there is a hint to it, inshallah, that will do so. Now, since the scholars say it is غيبي, we only take what in the hadith, as I mentioned earlier. So don't go into, do they know when you're coming? Do they make dua for you when you do so? Do the people of the grave get punished with the people they do in, and all of that stuff? So this is what the scholars say, refrain. عِلْمٌ لَا يَنْفَعْ وَجَهْلٌ لَا يَضُرُ. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say this, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not come up with that in the authentic hadith, so we refrain from this, inshallah. So this is what we are going to talk about, inshallah. It says now, it is said and is proven, because if you don't follow that from the innovations and all of us, you will just follow your own whims and desires. And this is what this is now. This is exactly what it is. So in the dar al dunya, dar al barzakh, dar al akhirah, al qarar, through different stages. This life in the grave. And dar al-qarar, and hereafter, there's no more death, there's no more grave, there's nothing else except that, inshallah. So, he says, وَقَدْ جَعْلَ اللَّهُ دَارًا إِحْكَامًا تَخَصُّهَا وَرَكْبُ هَذَا الْإِنسَانِ مِدُونِ النَّفْسِ. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made three stages that we talked about, the five stages. Let's remind each other again for the five stages. We went to spirits and our forefathers, the Prophet Adam alayhi salam. The second one is in the womb of the mother. The third one is taklufa, this life. And the fourth one is in the grave. And the fifth one is going to be the next one, inshallah, is in the resurrection, the al-ba'th wa al-nushur. So it says what yatabayyin, anna ruh mustahibin. So some of the scholars says when your ruh go up, your soul goes up to be narrated again, ja'alu kitaba abdi fi aliyin or fi tark al-asfal. You make the book of my soul, the slave, into the highest level or the lowest level. So it says the body, when you put it into the grave, it stays. And even if the soul comes down, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it lets it be like a raya, about rafrif. Some of the scholars, they say, when it says, وَإِذَا النُّفُوس زُوِّجَتْ النُّفُوس. So the scholars say, nufus zuwajat, meaning the soul will be coupled back with your body when you go back into the grave. طيب, if that's the case, what do we do when we go inside the grave, and how to answer the questions in the grave, and what happens to it, inshallah? Okay. This is the most important part of this whole lecture. Okay, so please understand that. In the sahih, lawla an la tadafanu lada'ud Allah an yusammi'akum min adhab al-qabr ma asma. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if you did not, you know, because you're burying your deceased into the grave, I would have asked, because otherwise you'd be scared. Some of the scholars says you would be scared if you hear what's going on in the grave, of the punishment of the grave. Some of them say nobody actually hears it except the animals and so on. But if we were able to do so, some of the scholars says the wisdom and hikmah from that is we cannot actually hear what's going on. Otherwise, يُعَيْرُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا بِأَمْوَاتِنَا, which means we'll make fun of each other for our deceased. You know what, man? I can hear your father being punished in the grave, or I can hear your mother being punished in the grave, or you said this. Look, you said he was a righteous person. Look at him now. So it's among the hikmah and the wisdom and the mercy, because otherwise we would not have been able to live if we were walking in the graves and we can hear what's going on. Yes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected us from that by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, if is laula da'awt Allah yusma'ukum fi 'adab al-qabr ma'as. Prophet says, I would have asked Allah to let you hear what I'm hearing. To khassiyya li Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Again, so it says, and this is kharajahu Muslim an Abi Sa'id wa an Anas radiyallahu anhuma. So that's the case. And again, in the tasnif from the adab and the punishment, we will talk about it in the end, inshallah. But now, okay, so it says, وَبِرِوَيَاتِ it says, فَيَسْمَعُهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا الْإِنسَانِ. Everybody will hear it except the insan. وَلَوْ سَمِعَهَا الْإِنسَانِ لَصَعَقْ. If we hear it, you would have said asunder. You would have passed out. You would not be able to do so. And some of the people will tell you, Sheikh, I heard things online and on YouTube that people have put the microphone deep, very high sensitive mics, so deep in the ground, and you hear ooh, and all of that stuff. Come on, man. It's like Hollywood or Bollywood, or is it Halloween, Halloween? Nothing like that. So we're not going to go there. Otherwise, this would have been so easy for people to do. This is nothing like it. That's not what we believe in, and that's what it is. If they want to feel, if you feel like you want to watch like a scary movie, or you don't want to go to sleep at night, you want to have some nightmare, whatever it is, no, not at all. It says, وَأَبْلَغَ مِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ صَحِيحِ يَسْمَعَهُ كِلَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا ثَقَلَيْنِ. So everybody will hear it, except the ثَقَلَيْنِ, meaning the jinn and the ins. May Allah protect us from that, Ya Rabbi. Ameen. So it says, وَلِسْنُ وَلِلنَّاسِ فِي سُؤَالِ مُنْكَرُ وَنَكِيرُ. Now, here you go. إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةُ تُبْلَ فِي قُبُورِهَا. In this hadith, says, عن حديث زيد بن ثابت, Prophet Muhammad ﷺ says, you will be tested in your grave, in this ummah, ummah of Muhammad ﷺ, meaning Muslims. It says, وَاخْتِلِفَ فِي سُؤَالِ الْأَطْفَالِ. هَلْ يَدُومْ. So scholars have differed now. What about the children? And the strongest opinion is not they're not held accountable, because they have not reached the age of puberty. So please understand that that's the case, inshallah. So we will talk about what are the questions in the grave and what happens when you answer, and so on and so on. So it says, وليس في أخبار منكر وكير ما هو صريح في ذلك في حديث يفتح له باب إلى النار فيأتيه من سمومها وحذابها. ليس بالصريح ذلك أنه مستمر حتى يبعثه الله. So the scholar says there is an authentic hadith that says that after you answer the questions, a gate will open. You can see your place in hell. May Allah protect us from that. Or you can see your place in heaven, paradise, Jannah. Ya Rabb, Ameen. May Allah make us among them, inshallah. So what are the questions in the grave? And what is the how do you answer it? And what is the condition? And that's what we're going to talk about, inshallah. And here we go. Bismillah. So when we said when the last person leaves, as we were buried, may Allah make it a piece of heaven, not a piece of hell, Ya Rabbi, Ameen, and give us the ability to answer the questions. The two angels, Munkar and Nakir, come and sit you. And that's the reason you lie on your right-hand side. So when they sit you, you'll be facing the Qibla. And some of the opinions, actually, your feet will be facing the Qibla. So when you get up this way, you'll be facing the Qibla. Either or. The stronger opinion is you go on the right-hand side, facing the Qibla this way. So when you get up, you're automatically facing the Qibla. And the Munkar and Nakir, okay, so I'm not going to go. I want you to go to sleep tonight, inshallah. May Allah help you. Some of the rations that they're very harsh. They're not as pleasant, you know, the angels and protectors and so on. These will ask you questions, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to answer the questions, Ya Rabbi. Ameen. طيب. He says they will ask you three questions. مَنْ رَبُّكْ مَدِينُكْ مَدِينُكْ مَاذَا تَقُولْ فِي الرَّجْلِ بُعْتَ فِيكُمْ. Who is your Lord? And who is your Prophet? But what's your way of life? And what do you say in the man that was sent upon you? Meaning Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you see a brother, mashallah, tabarakallah, or a sister saying this dua, and that's what I'm going to ask you to do again on your homework. They're smart because they know that these are the three questions in the grave. Yeah? So please note, the three questions are, who is your Lord? What is your way of life? And who is your Prophet? What's the answer, brothers? Rabbi Allah, Dini al-Islam, and Prophet Muhammad Sallam is my Prophet and Messenger. Where do you find this? Well, you're supposed to say that three times after Fajr and three times before Maghrib. What is the answer? Raditu billahi Rabba wa bil Islam Dina wa Muhammadin Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Nabiya Rasulah. So that's one of the most important things. I've asked you already to seek protection in Allah from the punishment of the grave and so on before you make taslim in the salah. Now I'm going to ask you to do the adhkar al-sabah al-masa. I know I'm asking for a lot, but you know what? It's for your own protection. And that's why it's called Hisn al-Muslim, Fortress of a Muslim. It's not, you don't have to get a large insurance policy and all of that stuff. So just to get the best of insurance policy and the best to protect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why don't we say this thing? رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَرَسُولَهُ رَضِيْتُ, I accept, I'm satisfied, I am pleased. This is the best thing ever happened to me. رَضِيْتُ, I'm content. بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be my Lord. وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا, I submit my will to you, Allah. I accept Islam to be my way of life. وَبِاللَّهِ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا, and accept Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to be my prophet and messenger. And that's the answers and the questions, by the way. You understand? By the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives you the questions and He gives you the answers. You understand it in your, and I know Brother Free teaches in, may Allah bless him, inshallah, university in Sydney. SubhanAllah, you said, you know, when you teach and you prepare and all of that stuff, we will never be able to give the questions to our students. We'll be fired. Can you imagine not just give the questions, give the answers to the students? They'll be doubly fired. I don't know if you can do that or not. But you know what? By the blessing of Allah, Allah gives you, here are the answers to the questions. Not just give you the questions. Here are the answers to the questions. SubhanAllah. Now, if you live according to the Quran, and you know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know Asma' al-Sifat, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, monotheism, and of the Lordship, monotheism, the Godhood, the divine attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and knowing what it means and live accordingly, you would be able to say Rabbi Allah, solid. Because I walked it, I lived it. And if you are able to live Islam, according to the Quran and Sunnah, doing righteous deeds, do what you're told to do, stay away from what you're told not to do, you will be saying, my deen is Islam, my way of life is Islam, I lived Islam, walk the talk. And if you lived according to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sunnah, followed his footsteps, done what he asked to do, and stayed away from what he asked to do, you will say that my Prophet and Messenger is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if you say that, you're able to say, you know what, by the way, in the grave, you will not get this. Is this your final answer? Can I call a friend? Can I poll the audience? Can I call 911 or 999, whatever you are in the world? Yes? I want my mommy. I'm afraid of the dark. Can you take me back? You know, could I get a grave by the water, please? Can I have a three-car garage? Could I be a little more? Isn't that amazing, Sheikh? SubhanAllah, ajeebullah. Three questions. Listen, brothers and sisters, if I tell you that your professor, if you're preparing your defense for your PhD, if your professor says, I'll give you a PhD if just based on the questions that I'm going to answer you, would you not be at least remotely interested to find out what the question is? Could you imagine, this is just to get your PhD, if your doctor, which is going to be a lot more than that, but if he says, I'm going to ask you questions, very simple questions, three questions. According to your answer, I'll grant you the PhD or deny you. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, you will get the pleasure in the grave or the punishment according to these little questions. But it's according to how you lived, not just what somebody's going to tell you in the grave. And by the way, the talqeen, you know the talqeen, brothers? The hadith of talqeen is da'if jiddan. Says when somebody says, you know, if the angel comes, they sit on your grave, and if you come and tell them, you know what, listen, the deceased person here, there will be angels coming to you. If they come and they ask you, who's your Lord? Tell them, my Lord is Allah. If they ask you, what is your way of life? Tell them, my way of life is Islam. And if they ask you, who's your messenger? Tell them, this is talqeen. Hadith is very daif, very weak, by the way. So we cannot use that. Otherwise, it would have been so easy. Listen, man, here's a quid. You know what, here's 20 bucks. Is if when I die, listen, come and give me some cheat notes. Please tell me what to say or how do I answer my question. It doesn't work that way. I'll give you the proof. Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi wala says, يُثَبَّتُ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيَفْعَلْ اللَّهُمَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the ability for every one of us to be able to do what? To be able to answer the questions. الْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ, according to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, to be able to say لا إله إلا الله before you die, answer the questions in the grave, and answer the four questions on Judgment Day. That's the next time, inshallah, we'll talk about the resurrection. So if you lived according to Islam, as I said before, you will die accordingly. If you lived according to Quran, you will die accordingly. If you lived according to Sunnah, you will die accordingly. And that's exactly your test. So it is only what you did. So the condition here is what? يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ, yes. Allah will give you the ability to be able to say that the righteous utterance, the steadfast, to be able to answer the questions. To whom? To the one that gave a bribe to the guy to come and tell me in my grave, please say this and here's the questions, here are the answers? No. It says الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who believe in what? In the unseen. And that's why we started saying that the grave is unseen, unknown. And that's why it's tawqifi. We follow the Quran and Sunnah according to what we did. So we are told that you'll be asked questions. And the questions are granted. Who is your Lord? What is your way of life? And who is your Prophet? Again, what's your homework? You're going to say three times. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّهَا بِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيه رسول الله. I accept Allah to be my Lord, Islam to be my way of life, and Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم to be my Prophet and Messenger. So if you do that, congratulations. I'm happy for you. You pass the test. If you don't, may Allah help you. Guess what? If you didn't live according to the Quran, if you didn't live according to Islam, if you didn't live according to the Sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, you will be asked the same questions. But guess what? You will not be able to say my Lord is Allah. You will not be able to say my way is Islam. You will not be able to say my Prophet and Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will you say? Say, la adri. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what it is. Yes. So you will say, la darit wa la talit. You did not recite, did not learn, did not know. You lived what? According to your whims and desires, haphazard, like an animal. You eat, you drink, you had whatever it is that you wanted to do. You had no control over your whims and desires. Your body was enslaved. Yes, because you were a lower being. You only went according to what your body needs. That's what it is. Not the heavenly, not according to your soul. Your soul did not control your body accordingly. So you would say, la darit wa la talit. Look at the difference, brothers and sisters. One, if you don't know the answers, the gate will open to see your place in hellfire. Can you imagine waiting to see that? And again, the scholars accordingly said, not all the time, but some of them once in a while, or it open all the time. Allahu alam, he did not specific say it, but the door will be open to see your place in hellfire. They will say, Rabbi, la tuqim as-sa'a, la tuqim as-sa'a. Oh Allah, don't establish the hour. Ayna tadhabuna biha? Woe to it. Remember when you can't, it's like you're running toward your grave, you're so happy. You're so happy that what's waiting for you, if you're a true believer, when you die, towards your grave, it's so light, and you want to, you're as if you're, take me. Or, أَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ بِهَا يَا وَيْلَهَا Woe to it, where are you taking it to? You understand, brothers, this is a huge difference between the two. Huge difference how you're going to die. Huge difference what happens in the grave. Huge difference when you're resurrected. So a smart intellectual individual is prepared in this dunya to the hereafter. Because indeed, there's, وَاللَّهِ مَا بَعْدَ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ دَارِ إِلَّا جَنَّةً أَوْ نَارٍ. By Allah, there is no place in after death except heaven or hell. Now, look at the opposite. But let's stick with this one first. We'll finish for the positive. Okay? So, if you don't answer, if you don't get the question, if you don't answer the questions, what happens? The gate will open from the hellfire, and this is سمومها. Now the heat will come. فرشوا له من النار. It will be furnished from the hellfire. سمومها. The heat and the smell, the stinking rot. May Allah protect us, Ya Rab. Ameen. And when we go into the grave, there's Dhamma. You know the Dhamma? Everyone will be hugged. But the hug is different. The scholars say, if the disbeliever is like, crush your ribs. تَفَرَّقُ الضُّلُوعِ Your ribs will collapse inside. But the true believer is a mother is just holding back its child. Because you're going back to where you're created. It's like your mother. You understand? So we understand that, you know, father, mother, Adam and Eve, I get it. But I'm just saying it's a parable here. So please, my brothers and sisters, you're when you go into the grave, you know, you as if لسان الحال, the scholars as if the earth is telling you, يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ بَعْدَ قَلِيلٍ سَتَأْتِي. You're walking, you're thinking, you're strutting, you're walking, يَا أَرْضَ الْهَدِّ مَعَلِكِ أَدِّي. I'm God's gift to woman. I am this and I'm that. You're strutting, you're moving your body, right, sisters, with high heels. With the hair flaunting and everything is flaunting and with perfume luring everybody's mind attention to me. Look at me, look at me. And the brothers are doing other fitna and oh my Allah, help us, with the bling bling hanging, with the tattoos and the earrings and all that stuff. That's not us, right, brothers? Because you're walking on this thing and you're thinking that you are arrogant, you're conceited, and that you're never going to die. Where are you going to go back? It's telling you, you're walking above me. Wait till you come inside me and you will see whether it's going to be punishment or pleasure for you. So please make sure when you're walking on earth, walk in humbleness. Because this is where you're going back to. This is where you came from. This is you're coming back out from. مِنْهَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَفِيهَا نُعِيدُكُمْ مِنْهَا نُخْرِجْكُمْ طَارَةً أُخْرَى. From this we created you. In it you're going back to. And from this you're going to be resurrected again. Can you imagine? Okay, this is your choice. Your choice is, you choose one. Go ahead, enjoy. You have a choice. The choice is, you go into the grave, your ribs will collapse. You will not be able to answer the questions. You will see a place in the hellfire. You don't want this, the hour to be established. You're furnished from the hellfire. You have food from the hellfire. Everything you smell from the food from the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. But listen to the other one now. When you answer the question properly, alhamdulillah, Allah gives you the ability to be able to answer the questions. Okay, instead of collapsing your ribs, what happens? يُفْسَحُ لَهُ عَلَى مَدِّ الْبَصَرِ. Your grave will be as far as your eyesight can see. And the gate of heaven will open up and you can see your place in heaven. Allahu Akbar. It says, رَبِّ أَقِمِ السَّاعَةَ كَيْ أَعُودُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِي وَمَالِي. Oh Allah, establish the hour so I can go back to my family. Which one do you want, my brothers and sisters? Isn't that amazing? And by the way, look at choices again. You can feel it's a miserable life till when? Till Allah knows best, till you're resurrected. Okay? And then you understand now when in the grave, if you're a believer, you feel like you just had a nice slumber. You woke up, oh, nice, refreshed. Huge difference. A miserable long life till you're resurrected. Allahu alam, how long it is when we die till then. Or a beautiful slumber, sleep in a very nice environment, beautiful aroma, beautiful feeling, a place that you look forward to, and so on and so forth. Now, please, akhi and ukhti, this is the choice that you have to make, my brothers and sisters. So what happens now when you go into the grave and when you're resurrected and who is and so on? You know that the scholars say accordingly, inshallah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَى فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ فَالْأَحْيَاءُمْ وَلَيْكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Don't say those who are actually died. They're still alive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we don't know that. لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. We don't know that. If their soul is in the body of a green bird in heaven and so on and so forth. So please understand that. Okay. How to make your grave a piece of heaven and how to do so? وَلِيَذَا بِلِي other side. So there are some things that do punishment in the grave, my brothers and sisters, and وَلِيَذَا بِلَّا those who are protect you, and this will give you pleasure in the grave. So غَيْبَ النَّمِيمَ, I'm not going to go through all of them because it's only, actually the time is a little more than I would, but forgive me, inshallah, for taking it, because it's kind of important. So no more غَيْبَ النَّمِيمَ, no more backbiting, no more, says, you know what, when the Prophet says, إِنَّمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ وَلِيَعَذَّبَانِ, because they are punished. What are they punished for? Not big. They speak about all about the people behind their back and the backbite, and even when they urinate or whatever, either he didn't do it properly or he didn't care, didn't cover his awra, and so on and so forth. A few things, my brothers and sisters, purify yourself. And I want you to make sure that you understand that if you want to protect yourself from the punishment of the grave, I want you to recite Surah Al-Mulk every night. Okay? So before you go to sleep, if you want to do it in the Qiyam, you know, whatever it is, Surah Al-Mulk, please. Tabarak alladhi bi al-mulk. I want you to recite this every night. This is how you protect it. Prophet Muhammad said, he said this is to protect you from hellfire, in the grave. Now, Ibn Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, says in the explanation of the Imam al-Nawawi, Sahih, إذا مات الإنسان قطع ملوه من تبعه. They said that if you're three things will follow you in the grave. Your family will follow you in the grave, your wealth will follow you in the grave, and your deeds will follow you in the grave. Two things will go back, one will stay with you. He said your family will go back, no matter how much they love you. You know what? If your mother is there and you're going to bury your mother after a long, healthy, righteous life, may Allah protect, you know, bless our the mothers and all the fathers. May Allah have mercy upon our deceased, Ya Rab, Ameen, and give us a good ending, Ya Rab, Ameen. He says, no matter how much you love your mother, it's as if you can hear the faint sound of your mother. Wait, take me back, stay with me. You'll never be able to do it. He says, Ya Bunay, kana sadri laka ridaa wa hijri laka wa aa. My son, don't you remember? My bosom was a source of nourishment for you. My lap was a source of comfort for you. Stay with me. Take me back. You'll never be able to do it. I'm just trying to give you an idea, brothers and sisters. I'm not saying this was going to happen. I'm just saying, can you imagine? You'll never do it. No matter how much you love your mother, you'll never stay with her in the grave and take her back. Your father. Don't you remember, my son? I was strong. You were weak. I was rich. You were poor. Now that I'm weak and you're strong and I'm poor and you're rich, take me back. Stay with me. You won't do it. And even the people you made rich, the people that worked for you, they won't do it. So the money would be divided. You're not taking it with you. People will leave you. Family will go back. Your money will be divided. Inheritance is gone. Except what you've taken with you in the grave and you passed it. You transferred that money, the sadaqah, for the in the hereafter. When the rishon says your sadaqah will shade you from one side. مَا قِبَلِي وَمَدْخَنْ Protect you in the grave. One side will protect it. This man, this person here, this woman used to give sadaqah. مَا قِبَلِي وَمَدْخَنْ You cannot come through this. The punishment cannot come through here. This person used to give sadaqah. So he says what stays with you, brothers and sisters, he says are your righteous deeds. عَمَلُ الصَّالِحِ He says فَأَحْسِنَ الرَّفِيقُ This is again the explanation of Ibn Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi to the Sahih Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi for Sharh Sahih Muslim. So he says, "Ahsan al-Rafiq, be good to those who are going to keep you company. And what's going to keep you company? He says, the righteous deeds. So I want you to think that this life is hassala. It's like your lamb, not your piggyback, it's your lamb bank, okay? So you deposit every chance you get in this life because you are, after this, the books are closed. So do your best. Yes? So if the sign of a happy person are three. If I tell you what is the sign of a happy person, you're probably going to tell me a Swiss bank account, private jet, private yacht. No. According to the scholars, the sign of a happy person are three types. It says, man, taraka dunya qabla an tatruku. That he renounced life before he renounces you. Number two, man banna qabra qabla yaskuna. He build your grave before you live in it. Number three, man arda rabbah qabla ayyalqa. Please your Lord. Before you meet him. Now you understand, brothers and sisters? And that's where I'm going to leave you, inshallah. The sign of a happy person again, and remember, those who renounce life before he renounces you, what does that mean? You know, you'll never be happy all the time. You'll never be healthy all the time. You'll never be rich all the time. You'll never be having everything you want all the time. It's impossible. It's the hereafter. So if you realize that fact, you realize that the fact that you have, you can see lines. You can see now, look, you use glasses before, now you didn't have to. Some hearing aid, you know, you can get a biryani belly. You make a noise when you sit down. You make a noise when you get up and all of that stuff. Yes, you've lost people that they're not there, they're not around anymore. All of these things are different. You see gray hair. Isn't that a nadir? It's a nadir. It's a warning that you're coming. You're coming towards, closer. So he says, this is when you leave life before it leaves you. It certainly will leave you. You cannot take your money with you. Have you ever seen anyone taking their Mercedes-Benz with him in the grave? Wallah, you can't. You remember that? So please, that's what he said. He says, renounce this life, leave the life before it leaves you. It surely will leave you. Okay? And I know you're not supposed to do this, but one rich, I think it was a Lebanese rich businessman, he said, get my hands out of the grave. You're not allowed to do that. But his point was what? Look, I was so rich, I had nothing. And I'm going to give you the proof. Please, I'm going to challenge you on this one. Any one of us, like I've done this in the years, you know, washing the dead, the shrouding and the janazah, all of that stuff. Wallahi la ilaha illallah. I have never seen a shroud with pockets in it. Anybody? I'm going to challenge you. Any of us have seen a shroud that has pockets in it, that you can take your wealth with you, you can take your gold with you, your gold Rolex, dude, this is real. Yeah? Have you taken anything with you? La wallahi. So it says the only thing that will take with you the righteous deeds, ahsan al-rafiq. Be good to those who are going to keep you company in the grave. So leave the dunya before it leaves you. Prepare your grave with what? He says righteous deeds. And please your Lord before you meet him. And that's when you are going to come back, inshallah, next week. We're going to talk about resurrections. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again to make our last words to be la ilaha illallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our best of actions and deeds to be the last actions and deeds. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the best days the days we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Wa akhna wa alhamdulillahi rabbil ameen. Wa sallam alayhi wa sahbihi wa tabi'in. Jazakumullah anna khaira. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm going to stick around just in case the brother prayed. If anybody has questions, I'll be more than happy to answer them, inshallah.